going on, Blackest family? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. I am so thrilled that this week we have one of the dopest DJs in the Los Angeles area on the phone with us for a phone interview this week. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a round of applause to Morgan Rhodes. What's up, Morgan?
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you for the kind words. Appreciate those.
You're welcome. And I just wanted you to know that it's always a pleasure to connect with really brilliant and creative minds in the Los Angeles area. And in case you're unaware, Morgan is the resident disc jockey at KPFK 90.7 FM, and she has an awesome program on Sunday mornings from 4 to 6 called The Listening Station. And Morgan and I first met, I was actually working on another program called Gospel Classics that records at the station from 6 to 8:30. And we met when I would come in early in the morning to get ready for my show, and she was finishing her show. And so I'm just so pleased to have you on this new venture that I've taken on, the Culture Connection. Morgan, I just wanted to start off with a few questions, just so for those people who may not know who you are and your journey, can you talk to us a little bit about career thus far? I know you're a graduate of Clark Atlanta University. You've worked at KCRW and now you're at KPFK. Can you talk about your journey as a DJ and how you got to this point where you are?
Sure. I feel like I've always been sort of a DJ. I went to Clark, as you mentioned, and I majored in mass comm with aspirations of being a filmmaker. So when I graduated, I came out to LA, came back home, wrote some screenplays, but just really didn't have the passion for it. I thought, whatever. But while I was at Clark, I was fortunate that mass communications, the major, was housed in the same building as Clark's radio station, which was WCLK. And
okay.
I became friends with two great DJs. One was the late Ken Beatty, and the other one was a Chicago DJ named Ken Nice, and they had a show called Hot Ice in the Afternoon. And they played fantastic music. I would always peek my head in and say hi. I'd always call and make requests. And at this time, the Atlanta music scene was really booming. There was a lot of acid jazz going on and, new soul stuff going on. And my love affair with dance music was in full swing, dance music and acid jazz. So I was already sort of listening to Jamiroquai, The Influence, Incognito, bands like that, Joy, stuff like that. So it just all sort of came together at the same time. While that was going on, and I'm sort of dating myself here, but it was around 95, 96, but I had a Sky Pager. And it had crazy amounts of time on there. So I would leave these greeting messages, but use up most of the time playing a song. And I would always, just leave them greeting, but play these songs. And I got such good response on the music and on the choices that then it sort of became a challenge to, like, okay, what can I play next? Because people love this. So that, I think that was the beginning of my career as a DJ, the Sky Pager. So I want to shout out Sky Pager for helping me launch this career. When I graduated, I came back to L.A. And around 97, one of my homegirls said, yeah, you listen to this sort of alternative music, you should tune into this station called KCRW, because I think you would, feel right at home, because I was complaining about what was on the radio and stuff. Even though hip-hop was still sort of good then, I still wanted to listen to my stuff. So I turned on to KCRW, discovered Chocolate City, discovered Metropolis, which was right up my alley. I was a house head, but I also loved the soulful side of things. And that was it. I started listening to the station, and a couple of years later, I decided to volunteer at the station. I had no aspirations of being a DJ, but I was interested in voiceover work. So I thought, well, maybe they'll let me read some spots if I hang around long enough. Maybe I can read that, Limley's wishes to thank, whatever. KCRW wishes to thank Limley's for their support. I thought I'd get to read that stuff. And so I was a production assistant for Garth and Jason Bentley for 3 years.
And shout out to Garth Trinidad, Jason Bentley. We love you at KCRW.
Absolutely. I learned a lot about programming from them. They're certainly a blend of two different styles, but knowledgeable, which I think is important for DJs, but certainly for radio DJs. I was approached at the end of 2006 about cutting a demo for a show, and I did. And while I was doing that, I was also hosting a show at Long Beach City College on a radio station called KLBC. They have their own radio station. So while I was waiting on things to happen, I was doing that, and then the demo was accepted, and I got a show in 2007 called The Playground. And I was there for a year playing the same type of music that you hear on the listening station. And then that show was canceled after a year. I ended up at KPFK 2 years later. And that's where I've been ever since, playing this blend of electronica, soul, breakbeat, afro-punk, dubstep, future jazz, all that kind of stuff. So that was my journey from Sky Pager to KPFK. It's been sort of like a 10-year odyssey, I guess, and a 15-year odyssey.
I love that the Sky Pager. It's so funny. I was listening to a song the other day, and they mentioned the Sky. Is it Motorola 2-way pager?
That's just what it was. Motorola. Shout out to Motorola.
Even though they're not paying us for it. You mentioned the listening station. You know, you specifically describe it as a weekly exploration into the world of progressive soul and alternative electronica. I'm wondering, at what point did you know that, at what point did soul and electronica shift to these redefinitions, and why do you think that happened in the music?
I think it happened because I think soul and hip-hop got married in 1992, and I think they got married with Mary J. Blige's album My Life. But as that was going on, there were these other movements going on, and some of the artists that I mentioned, like Joy and Jamiroquai and Incognito, and their soul was a little bit different. It was a little bit electronica, it was a little bit jazzy, and it didn't fit into those norms of, say, SWV, Mary J. Blige, Mokenstuff, R. Kelly, Aaliyah. They were outside the fringes, and that continued, it continued to evolve, and it started to experiment with dance beats from the mid-90s on into the early 2000s. And so I think it changed as other artists emerged that didn't fit into those categories of just straight ahead soul. We became progressive because it wasn't, it didn't have the bad boy sound, or it didn't have the uptown sound, or it didn't have the Motown sound. It's still outside the fringes. So there were soulful elements, but you couldn't classify Return of the Space Cowboy in the same, as a soul album, in the same way you would say Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, Aaliyah. And this was around the same time, but they were two different categories. So I think progressive soul came from soul being a little bit more forward thinking and a little bit more outside of the box. And electronica was just something that was just floating around. It was like the side love affair that soul was having with these beats. Four Hero, stuff like that. And then later on, Bugs in the Attic. So soul and electronica got married after soul stopped sleeping with hip-hop, or while soul was sleeping with hip-hop. So I guess soul was just sleeping around. And so that's how these terms came about.
Now, what's interesting for me is, if you listen to commercial radio, I would argue that you don't hear this evolution of soul. And I'm curious, given that a lot of those artists, you can hear their music on commercial radio, do you think there's a reason why there's a sort of separation, and why you don't hear more progressive soul or electronica?
Well, I think commercial radio and some of these commercial artists really think that they're delving into electronica. You're hearing a lot of electronic sounds. Rihanna, We Fell in Love in a Hopeless Place, was with Calvin Harris, big time electronica guy. And of course you have Diplo, whose hand is a little bit in dubstep, a little bit in pop, a little bit in electronic. They're calling in these producers to produce this electronic sound. So it's sort of like, borrowing on this metaphor of cheating and sex and all that stuff. I think commercial artists are flirting with electronica, but they don't want to make the commitment. And they also might be missing the fact that electronic music, just like all other forms of music, is black music. So techno started in Detroit with the Belleville Three. House music started in Chicago, in the gay clubs of Chicago. And, you know, Broken Beat started in West London with Bugs in the Attic, who are, you know, several black dudes doing that. So they're not reaching as deep as they should. They're going to who's hot now. And so, not taking anything away from them, on the one hand, it's good to have something electronic, you know, get into the soul scene. On the other hand, I would just wish they would dig deeper. And so that's sort of the thing. But I think in the last year or so, everyone has wanted this electronic sound. It just sort of exploded from auto-tune to techno. And so they want techno, but when I think of techno, I think of Moody Man. I think of Juan Atkins. And I think of Derek May, and I think of Andres and Kyle Hall, brothers, doing this sort of music. And so, you know, it's not a criticism against commercial music. People will do better, you know, when they know better. So I think it requires a little bit of education. And commercial radio, I don't think, has the freedom that independent radio has. Independent radio is sponsored by the people, powered by the people. And so the trade-off is we don't have, you know, sponsorship, right? We have to fund drive and raise funds and stuff, but the payoff is autonomy. You get to play what you want, you get to interview the artists that you want, and you don't have to subscribe to the same 20 or 30 songs every hour on the hour. And so that's the payoff. Less visibility, but more freedom. And that's what it is for independent radio and electronica.
I love that you talked about some of the beginnings of this music, techno Detroit, you know, house Chicago. I get the sense that many young black people now, you know, if we're talking about when I categorize young, let's say 25 and under, I'm curious if they even know the roots of a lot of this music, or would it be classified as white people music? Because particularly in America, it seems like techno is not really something that's embraced by black culture per se.
Right.
But I wonder, because you have such an international listenership and you dealt with artists around the globe, can you talk about that influence of music and how there might be a disconnect in the black community and why that exists, you think?
Well, I think there's a disconnect because of the labels. I think the problem with labels like techno and labels like drum and bass is they're scary just on face value. Now, if you were able to see, if you're able to hear a song and then tell someone, you know, that's techno, it would be a completely different response. If you played them dubstep from, say, Fawlty DL, who's one of my favorite artists, Fawlty DL, or Subtract, if you played them that and said, this is dubstep, their dubstep is more soulful. But when they see dubstep, they're thinking Skrillex, which might be a little bit daunting for your average black listener because it's heavy. It's bleepy, it's screechy, it's a little bit too dubby. But they don't know that they're underneath these genres are all these other subgenres. So a lot of people just, I think they're turned off because there is a lack of information. You need to be able to put faces to the music. And this isn't a criticism against, you know, listeners. Not everyone is up on some of this stuff. But I think the way to bridge the gap and to pull some of these listeners to our side is to say, listen to this first. And this is what I try to do on the listening station, what I've tried to do throughout my radio career. I want to be asked those questions. I want to play it for you first and then have you ask me. Because talking about music, for me, is almost as fun as playing it. I want you to know that techno did not start across the pond, that it started in Detroit, and that these are, you know, three black men that started this whole movement. And that drum and bass started with Four Hero, and those are two brothers, you know what I mean? L.T.J. Bookham. I want those questions to be asked because it's just like pushing the movement forward but also preserving the history of the movement. And I think we as DJ selectors, we owe it to our listeners to not only play the hits but talk about the genesis of some of this music if the music is to be appreciated and also if the culture is to be preserved.
I love this idea of culture being preserved, as you just said. I mean, so often our sort of immediate history and obviously our legacy history, if you will, is forgotten, and we have really short-term memories. So I thank you just for keeping the music, the history, the legacy of this music alive through the listening station on KPFK. I'm curious, given your knowledge and your love of the music, and I would say just your love of music and artistry in general, who would you say represents the single greatest musical influence in your life or in your work as a DJ?
Hands down, the greatest musical influence would have to be my father. He had great taste in music, and he was a very cool guy. He had a very cool sports car. He had a vintage Austin Healey, and it was a two-seater. And even as a little kid, he would, you know, scoop me up, and we'd take these long rides. And he didn't say much. Very articulate man, brilliant man, but he was all about the music. He loved to drive, and he loved to listen to great music. And music was all throughout the house. So I think he was the single biggest influence, because he didn't talk a lot, it forced me to listen. And I listened to everything. There was just great, you know, great music in the house. So I think he has really informed my appreciation for hearing music and, you know, just wanting to research it, remembering sounds, so that years later, and I keep bringing up Bugs in the Attic because I'm a big Broken Beats fan, but when I first heard any Bugs in the Attic sounds, I immediately heard, oh my God, I hear elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I hear elements of Wayne Shorter and the whole jazz fusion movement. I remember that stuff from being a kid, and from my father, I was able to recognize those sounds and also appreciate Bugs in the Attic more, because I realized that they were also reaching back to their memories. So it's good to be in the generation that I am, because my memory's long, and because we just come from a tradition of great, great music. And I think some of the music, I'm not sure that some of the music that's being made commercially will stand the test of time. Some will, but that remains to be seen. 20 years from now, I wonder how much of what we hear today will be played 20 years from now. So I feel so blessed who have been born at the time that I was, and be a DJ in such a time as this, that I have these memories and this great music to draw back from. So yes, I would definitely say my father.
And in honor of your father, can you speak his name for our listeners?
His name is Thelmas Rhodes. Thelmas Rhodes Jr.
All right, now you heard it from Morgan Rhodes. Pop was the greatest musical influence. Before we get out of here, I wanted to ask you, you know, if you we often get State of the State, State of the Union addresses, and, you know, because you're such a connoisseur of great music, if you were to give a State of Music address, I'm wondering what you would want people to know at this period in time, at this juncture in musical history. What would be important for people to take home and hold on to and to continue to strive to commit to? As it concerns music and its legacy?
I think I'd want them to know two things. I think I'd want them to know that they have to dig deep. The underground is waiting to be discovered. It's way deeper than you think it is. It depends on word of mouth. It depends on its independence. It depends on people talking about it, because it doesn't have the same sort of commercial support or underwriting that commercial music does. But the more you dig, the more you find that there are jewels under there. My friend Eric Rico always says, know your history, know the history of this music. You know, as Black folks, own this music, own the electronica, because it started with us, and we have continued to push the movement forward. I guess I want people to know that Black girls rock. That inside of Soulful Electronica, there are a lot of Black girls pushing this movement. Georgia Samuel Drow, Musina, Erica.
Azealia Banks, who you introduced
Azealia
to the
Banks,
other day.
Right? There's a ton of them. Jack Davey from J. Davey. That Black women are not only artists, right, but they're singers and songwriters. They're making beats. And I could just go on and on. I'd also want people to know that Los Angeles is undergoing a renaissance that has been happening for the last, I'd say, 10 years. There's so much good music being made here, produced here. We are on the cusp of this new album, Until the Quiet Comes, from Flying Lotus. It's a masterpiece. I've had a chance to listen to it. It's amazing music. Just a snippet of what he's doing, the Brain Feeder crew, what's going on here. So that's what I'd want people to know. And lastly, I guess I'd want them to know that when all is said and done about this progressive soul and electronic movement, keep in mind that black people are at the forefront and that independent radio was sort of a conduit for all of this to happen. So if you don't do anything else, remember to support independent radio. You have to think outside of the box. People, you know, I love black people because we're such individuals. We don't want to dress like everybody else. We don't want to look like everybody else. We don't play the same music as everybody else. Think outside of the box. That's what I want people to know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the awesome, the brilliant Morgan Rhodes. Morgan, before we go, can you just give everybody your Connect info so if people want to follow you on Twitter, connect with you at the radio station, the information that they can contact you at?
Absolutely. Twitter and Facebook are so easily, simply Morgan Rhodes, and there's only one black one, so it should be easy to find me. You can tune into the show Sunday mornings from 4 to 6 a.m. simply by logging on to kpfk.org and playing Listen Live. And also, if you're interested in some of the music that I play, but you're not able to stay up to listen to the show, I want to shout out an upcoming film, Middle of Nowhere. I was blessed to music supervise that film under the direction of the gorgeous and talented megastar Ava DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay. I love her and what she's doing.
Doing her thing.
Affirm. Love Affirm. And
the whole entire
and
movement.
All the folks still working there.
That's right. Together we are strong. I was blessed to have the opportunity to work with her. She found me on the radio and wanted to hone in on this sound. And it's featured in that movie, which comes out October 12th in a city near you. So the Black Underground is alive and well and now needed and used in feature films. So please check out that film when you get a chance.
Well, thank you, Morgan, and please support Morgan and everything that she is doing. She is an incredible asset to our community, and please check us out on blackisonline.com. You can reach Culture Connection at blackisonline.com on email if you're trying to connect with us. Again, thank you, Morgan. We greatly appreciate you. And as we end every Culture Connection segment, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Until next week, Black is family. Peace.